Welcome to another off-season edition of Spits and Suds. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. So great you can join us as amazing. We got a tournament this weekend that our very own Sean Shapiro and Robert Tiffin will be covering, and we'll get to that in just a matter of minutes. Don't forget, you can always catch up with Sean. He'll have full reports on his Shap Shot. So this isn't a game that is like widely televised, and you're not going to see a lot of reports here, there, and otherwise. So it's a great opportunity to sign up at Sean's Substack. You can find everything Sean does at Sean Shapiro. That includes working for Elite Prospects, which is an absolutely wonderful website with a lot of information. So Sean's doing exclusive articles with them. He also writes for D Magazine and his YouTube show with Robert Tiffin, all called Algorithmically Incorrect. Some great episodes dropped last week. Highly encourage you to support Sean and Robert and subscribe to that channel. Well, during this podcast, you might hear some zzz in the background, and that is because the on-time experts are at my house. They proudly support this program. And guys, I tell you, I just don't talk about them. I'm a customer. Well, unfortunately, on Sunday in this 90-degree heat, it was getting warm in my house, and I had to call the on-time experts, and we had to say goodbye to my AC unit. And here's the thing. It lasted longer than it should have because of the on-time experts and the maintenance that I did. But unfortunately, the system was 2005, 2006. So the situation is this: they couldn't put in the proper coolant even if they wanted to. That's how long my system lasted. So they are currently putting in a brand new AC system. I got to tell you about this process because it was wonderful. Took advantage of that same day service, and they said, this is going to be tough because it's a holiday weekend. They were really honest with me, but you know what? 9:30 that night, they showed up and they looked over the system. And when I found out I needed to get a whole new system, kudos to them. They sat next to me, and what a wonderful tech. He said to me, you know what? She was a great system. She lasted a long time, almost like it was like I had lost a pet or a family member. And that's the kind of like TLC that you're going to get from the on-time experts. The next day, they did not want me to be in the heat, so they brought a ground unit that I can put in my bedroom so I could sleep a little bit more comfortably. That's the kind of service you're going to get. And that's why I'm a customer for life with the on-time experts. I'm excited about my new unit, and I'm excited about the price I got. I talked to some of my neighbors, and they said, you know what? That's a very reasonable price, especially for this time of year. So take it from me, seriously. As they told me, Gavin, you do a lot of work with us, because when I talk about the on-time experts, I want you guys to feel as though you can be a customer for life as well. And they support local hockey, proud supporter of the Dallas Stars, proud supporter of Spits and Suds. Make sure you go to theontimeexperts.com. They have lots of specials that they can offer for you as well. Thanks to the on-time experts for all they do for me personally and for Spits and Suds. We bring in our friend, Sean Shapiro. Sean, are you excited about this prospects tournament this week? Detroit and Dallas. Last year, it was in Frisco. This year, it moves up to Michigan. Hello, Sean. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, Gavin. I am at the, I'm looking forward to, I'm picking our pal Robert Tiffin up from the airport on Saturday morning. So I'm looking forward to that after seeing, Robert in person last month down in Dallas for our wonderful
yeah.
there at, that you put on through Spits and Suds. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I am very excited that it is as fun as Stars Wings was in a two-game set last year. I am very excited about this being back to at least a multi-team event beyond a two-game set between two teams. It's not I'll always have that deep fondness for the memory of what the Traverse City tournament used to be, when there was eight teams up there and you had eight NHL teams brought their prospects up there. There was every team played four games in 5 days, and there was four games per day, and it was great. So I'll always have that fondness for that memory, but having with Detroit and Dallas and now Columbus and Pittsburgh being there as well, it feels a bit I'm happy with a little bit more of the seeing some other crossover on things, like, because Gavin,
yeah,
it was a good time, right? Like, I remember you and I sitting watching Detroit and Dallas play, and it was a good time and it was a good cross section, but there's also only, you want to be able to kind of get that data and watch your prospects play against multiple things, right? Last year, the Stars, Red Stars prospects playing Red Wings prospects gave you an idea of what they looked like against each other. This weekend, you'll get to see, this coming weekend and then Tuesday, because they're going to play Saturday, Sunday, off day Monday, play next Tuesday. You'll get to see them against prospect pools from three teams total, and you get a better data point for that. So I'm looking forward to it, looking forward to kind of watching some games, and I'm interested to see how the players kind of jump into this, because it's always a big event. I feel like it's probably had a little bit more importance this year than in past years for some of these top level guys because of the shortened NHL preseason. With only four NHL preseason games and not having the 5 to 7 preseason games that teams had before, I think these prospect games might be a little bit more important for some of those guys trying to prove they should be competing for a roster spot. So it should be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And last year we saw a name that we didn't really talk about going in, a guy like Jackson Fooder, who really proved himself in that tournament and, you know, won himself basically a gig in the Stars system. So mm-hmm. I think the possibility is there. And you look at it's a great point, Sean, because I look at some of the people, you know, Emil Hemming, Dylan Ritzkovian, Cameron Schmidt. You look at Artem Schlein. That is a guy that played at a high level last year in Texas. So I'm expecting him to play well this weekend. And I'm glad he's staying within the Stars system. Cameron, as I mentioned, Cameron Schmidt, there's a lot of really good names. Tristan Bertucci, what are we going to see out of him? Minidian, now leaving Boston College and now being in the Stars system. So
so that's the one for me that I'm perhaps most intrigued at from a Stars mm-hmm. perspective on learning something about a player, because I admittedly was always a big kind of watching Minidian at Boston College and NTDP before. I thought he was always a good player. I didn't really have him, like, to me, he's a solid player, but I thought he surprised me a bit with what he did with Texas at the end of last year, at the end of his NCAA season. I thought he was pretty good in those Texas playoff games as well. So he's one to me where I've got a little bit more time's the wrong word, but I'm curious to see how things kind of come together with with this come after that taste of the AHL last year and then kind of launching into this. So,
yeah, absolutely. And then you got a guy that was just drafted in Jacob Vanacek that a lot of people are excited about. Mm-hmm. Let's see, you know, how he does. It's not necessarily the deciding factor, but certainly it's a great momentum aspect where players can be discovered and or, you know, some positioning for where they end up, whether it's in the East Coast League, whether they go back to school, just they kind of give the Stars management, you know, kind of a baseline to look at how they play against the competition. Because you're right, Sean, I do miss that about the tournament as well. It's like you can scrimmage against each other all day long, but I do think it's very interesting and it's at a different level when you're playing an opposition.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it, and it's a great way to get things going. And I mean, we've got, I think it's, we're recording today, Gavin, and we're literally 3 weeks from NHL opening night right now as we're recording today. So it's kind of, we're about to hit the dead sprint into the start of the season. So
yeah,
it's a fun time of year.
Okay. Jim Neal, Stars guru, was on 100% Hockey with Millard and Shannon. And I thought this quote was interesting. He says, "I don't blame the players as far as talking about contracts. They want to get paid their value and stuff. So I'm not asking them to take $5 million a year or less. But if everyone buys into the program and takes a little bit less, can you have a better team on the ice? Some guys it works with, some it doesn't. And I don't blame the players. They're kind of their own business. They have to look after themselves. So I don't blame them when they ask for what they want. Our biggest problem is we have to make some tough decisions. Then if they want the max, then we make hard decisions. You've seen that throughout the league. That's just the way it works." What'd you think of that quote, Sean?
I think it was well constructed. Sure. That's one of the things that Jim is a very honest person, and I don't think he's ever changed how he approaches things at all on the when it comes to speaking publicly. I think Jim does a better job than most about kind of, but it was, it's funny how to look at everything Jim says when you're talking about players and how they figure things out without what you can't help but wonder, how often sometimes there's the line where he wants to follow up and say, "Well, Jason, why did this take all summer when we signed the deal that we did when we could have signed it 3 months earlier?"
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's always kind of that like hidden, and I don't think there's any animosity or anything like that. I really don't. I can't help but laugh at it sometimes because I know that's one of those feelings of the stuff the Stars dealt with this summer and then ultimately what they signed, knowing that full well they're going to have to go through it and figure out another step for it is always fun, I guess.
So it's September 8th as we record this. And I guess the question is, you know, come January when they kind of sign him, are we going to have the same discussion that we had all summer long, I guess, as far as, you know, what's the number and how much will he take? I guess the question, if I'm guessing management will keep those numbers no matter what Robertson does from the start of the season through January, correct?
I don't know, Gavin, and you can tell me this as someone looking at it from your perspective too. What can Jason Robertson do between October and January that changes the conversation at all? Yeah, right?
Nothing.
Because nothing. even if he's like, "Oh man, he's averaging 1.2 points per game or something like that come January," Jim Nill's boss and Tom Gilardi, the man who ultimately signs the checks, is going to say, "Well, that's great. Is he going to do? Is that going to get us 16 wins in the spring? Is that going to do like?" So I don't. That's the interesting dynamic of this getting kicked down the can the way it did and the way this plays out. I don't see how Jason can change his value or his play or anything like that in the regular season that changes the equation. And I think that's I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I think it's just an important thing for us to start acknowledging that and bringing that up now. So there's so many times. So no one's surprised in mid-January when people act like this is news, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that makes sense. A lot of interesting tidbits happening in the NHL. And one that we hadn't talked about, but it happens and it kind of caught me off guard, and it happens in the division. The Nashville Predators make a trade and they trade Luke Evangelista. Mm-hmm. He's only 24 years old, to New Jersey. Now, they did get back a first round pick and a second round pick. But Sean, I found this interesting because this was a guy I kind of had my eye on. Doesn't make a lot of money right now, might in the future, but he signed this year to $3 million, and then he becomes a restricted free agent at age 25. But when you look at the year that he had last year in Nashville, 12 goals, 44 assists in 81 games, 56 points, I felt as though he was kind of emerging, you know, and really has it, you know, kind of got it together after, you know, an 18-point season and a 22, but not playing full NHL seasons per se. And when he got his chance, I felt as though this was a player that maybe Nashville was going to wrap their arms around. But what'd you think of that trade?
To me, it's I don't mind the value they got for it. I don't mind the recouping some high value picks is probably what he would be worth. But to me, when you're trading I think he was probably fourth or fifth on that team in points last year. If you're going to trade a 24-year-old who is kind of been on the upswing, right? And
yeah,
and then when you go and make the comment of like, hey, moving him was also part of like, hey, opening up some space for some younger players too and everything like that. I don't get the plan. And I know it went from Barry Trotz to, why am I drawing a blank on his name? Was the GM in Colorado and is now the GM in Nashville. Chris McFarland.
Yep.
I don't understand the way Nashville is handling their window on things, right? Like, with all due respect to Maverick Bork, who obviously Stars fans liked a ton, right? Like, would you rather have, well, I guess let's have this conversation right now. Would you rather have Maverick Bork or Luke Evangelista?
That's a good question. The fact that I have to debate it, I think, shows the potential in Evangelista.
Because, like, they're the same age, right? Yeah, like, Evangelista, yeah. They're both drafted in that 2020 draft. Bork is now making $5.5 million. And like, Evangelista had more points last year, had more assists last year in his, and more assists than Bork had points total last year in 82 games. And Bork was playing on a better team, right? So I just look at some of the decisions and everything like that. I don't understand the offseason plan for Nashville when you're trading for Maverick Bork, but then in the same offseason trading Luke Evangelista away. I guess I'm a bit confused on what the plan is here.
Yeah, yeah, I am well. A lot of articles
like, I think
coming
it's for New Jersey. I think it's a nice move by New Jersey. Like, well, yes, done by them.
Yeah, I think New Jersey has some really interesting pieces. Whether or not it comes together is another thing. But yeah.
Are they going to get the goaltending, right? Like, that's a big thing for New Jersey. Are they going to get the goaltending, and how do some other things play out for them? Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of goaltending, Connor Hellebuck, you know, you just press NHL news and the top articles that come up is, where's Connor Hellebuck going to land? I think this is an interesting spot for Kevin Cheveldayoff, because I'm interesting in the fact of I'm interested about the fan base and how they're going to react to Hellebuck. Mm-hmm. And do you want to put your franchise through that situation, but at the same time, try to negotiate a good haul? And is there one there now at this late deadline with a lot of, had this been before July 1st, maybe it might be a lot more flexibility cap wise. You haven't signed free agents. There haven't been some trades made. There'd be more cap flexibility for teams. Now, you know, you're a few weeks away from training camp.
Well, I guess the question always comes back is that we're at this conversation right now, but this is why Hellebuck probably went public with it, is Hellebuck's probably thinking the exact same thing. I handed this request in several months ago and nothing happened. So Buffalo probably still remains the top target, but Buffalo's getting to this spot of, you're getting ready for camp, and are you going to go and just, do you feel comfortable enough with Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen and instead maybe right. Just roll with it? I don't know. I keep going back to, it's the thing that's going to annoy, I think it's going to annoy Stars fans because Vegas is always in on stuff. But like, to me, the Vegas, like, I keep seeing Vegas as like, that feels like the best and most realistic option, because they're the one that is willing to. Other organizations, Vegas is willing to move anything, is willing to move anything for anyone, basically, at the end of the day. Other organizations haven't shown that willingness. And I think when you have deadlines forcing things and how things are playing out, I don't know how many other organizations are going to be willing to do what the Golden Knights will be willing to do when it comes to making a big trade or doing something along those lines. But it's hard to, with Hellebuck and Larkin and a couple other things coming out together, it's going to be interesting when about 10 days from eight or nine days from now, when NHL camps open, of like, are they going to show up to camp? How are they going to, what is going to be the threshold and volatility of those camps in Winnipeg? And then obviously in Detroit too, where they're still don't even have a GM yet, of like, what's going to be the volatility of, is that person, are those players going to show up and actually do actually going to play, and how are they going to approach that? And I'm honestly fascinated by it.
Yeah. So no, I am as well. Stu Barnes threw out the first pitch for the Frisco Rough Riders. Proud to say Corey Majors, our midday host on The Fan, we made a big deal of it. He threw out the first pitch at the Rangers game last Monday, and it was really, really cool. And it kind of got me thinking that I was going to ask Sean, Stu Barnes, the player, I loved him as a player. He was one of those Swiss Army knife guys and so important in penalty kills and defensive strategy. I was just a big, like, I was actually thinking to myself, how much would Stu Barnes get paid nowadays? Like, where does that fit in today's NHL? But back then when he played, I mean, I thought he was, you know, in his 4 years with Dallas, he was healthy for the most part. You know, his points were 29, 36, 25, and 23. So, and you know, he played good minutes, 18 minutes, 16 minutes, but God bless you.
Yeah. So, excuse me. Sorry.
But throughout the first pitch, Corey throws out the first pitch, and I was like, man, I got to ask Sean, with his coverage over the years, have you ever dropped a puck?
I have never personally dropped a puck. I have been part of the, I have been part of the back end before a ceremonial puck drop. The when our movie came out, when the late game came out, we did a promotional event with the Chicago Wolves, actually, with a screening and everything like that. And Brian and so RA from Spit and Chicklets, who plays the Zamboni driver in our movie, they had him drop the puck before the game. And so I was not part of the puck. I didn't drop a puck myself or anything like that, but I was part of the organization and working with the kind of marketing side of helping get that organized with RA and everything like that. So that was, so that's the closest I've been to doing that. I have not, myself ever dropped a ceremonial face-off or anything like that.
It's on my bucket list.
Yeah.
But I don't think they'll allow me to clear and allow two other players to come in, like kick, kick two guys out of the circle.
Yeah.
I don't think that they'll allow that. And, you know, finally, wanted to get your thoughts on Amazon. Bunch of teams are going there. I will say this. One of the things is that, you know, kudos to the Rangers. And I don't think the Dallas Stars and the Rangers wanted to move, but they saw the writing on the wall. At the end of the day, even if people are unhappy, the fact remains is that these two teams went elsewhere so that the games still could, because you could be in a situation where all of a sudden Stars games are nowhere to be found and they have to hustle. So I did want to add that and wanted to get your thoughts, you know, because even though technically it is a paid subscription, I think a lot of people have Amazon Prime.
Yeah, it's, and the Stars at least are, the Stars at least aren't doing an additional subscription fee like some of the other teams are. The Stars and the Ducks, to their credit, are kind of, if you have Prime or You have Amazon Prime or you have Prime Video, whichever one is, you have both, either one of those, you get the games. So unlike some other places where you have to pay an additional fee for it. So I look at it this way, and this is the whole, there's been a bunch of Victory Plus stuff, and I know Robert and I have talked about it, you and I have talked about it. One of the things that I find curious as we kind of go through and look at where this all goes, is the product going to be, is the product going to be better this year? And I want to be clear on that, Gavin, because this is something I think you're better skilled to speak about than others. Because I think under the Victory Plus model, there was times, and obviously most famously with probably the whole Brian Ray and Brent Severn being put into the little podcast booth for home games, and then public backlash and shaming kind of got them back out. There were times that I think Victory Plus made decisions that didn't put talent in the best position to succeed. Agreed. And as someone who works in the radio broadcast field, Gavin, and has worked with and understands a bit this better than a lot of other people do, I think maybe you'll appreciate this. I'm fascinated to see what the broadcasts look like this year with the NHL and the Stars running it now completely. And if they put their talent in a better position to succeed, because that will be a little more telling to me of what was Victory Plus's fault and what was the Stars' fault, because we don't know, right? Like, and with all due respect, I think Brad Alberts is saying everything he has to right now. But when they're talking about, hey, there was mistakes made at Victory Plus, and there was this and that and everything like that, the Stars were their big bet, and Tom Gilardi was putting money into it for it to work and everything. And so the Stars, there was lessons the Stars had to learn from the Victory Plus fallout as well. And that would be my kind of big thing I'm looking forward to watching and learning most about this season, is what did the Stars learn from the Victory Plus debacle, and how does it improve the product this year? So I think you're someone who understands that just from a production standpoint and putting your, like, and when it comes to putting the people in the best place to succeed, I don't think that happened at Victory Plus. And I'm interested to see if through this Amazon League hosted productions venue, if they've learned those lessons.
I think it needs to be a take a step back and meet together and say, how do we make this broadcast better?
Yeah.
And that's what I always do. Like, pull back the curtain. For those that don't know, last Thursday we announced a new multi-year partnership with the Dallas Mavericks. So there's a lot of moving parts now at the radio station. We have the Cowboys, we have the Rangers, and now we're the proud home of the Dallas Mavericks. And that deal has a lot of creativity in there. And I love that aspect. And we're already having meetings, not to look back necessarily, but just to say, how can we make it better? Not them coming in and it's like, this is the way we do it. It's like, no, this is a partnership. And what didn't necessarily work, or what have you, the question I always asked is there something on your mind that you've always wanted to do, but it hasn't been achieved? I'm not promising I can do it, but I would love to hear your idea. And it's amazing how that opens the conversation and just opens a healthy discussion, as far as feel as though our pre between periods and posts should be in a different studio, feel as though they should do this, feel it'd be cool to do these segments. So it's just all about discussions. And at the end of the day, it's like, what's serving the best interest of the listener or the viewer in that experience? So yeah, it's going to be very interesting. And yeah, you and I are kind of like audio video geeks, where we look at that stuff and pay attention. So, you know, I'm excited because Amazon, if they put money into it, there are potential possibilities that, you know, it can be better just because of Amazon wants to make it better. So we'll see. Tell us what you have coming up. Obviously excited to read about you and Robert and the prospect tournament this weekend. Anything else you're working on?
Yeah, we've got I got to give a shout out over to the guys over at Elite the scouting team over at Elite Prospects came out today. Top 64 ranking for the next draft for the 2027 draft ranking came out today. I highly encourage others to look at that. If you ever wanted to kind of get an idea from afar, or even as like, if you want to be a more informed hockey fan, I think it's kind of cool to, you don't have to go and watch all the games. You don't have to do all the prospecting and everything like that. But if you want to kind of track things as they go and check in throughout the year a little bit more on where these players come from, going through and looking at rankings like the one that EP put out today, and then kind of tracking this 2027 class in the moment, will kind of give you a better idea for the journey players go through to get to where they are now in the NHL. So I kind of want to shout out the guys over at EP and the guys and girls over at EP, who that scouting team, and we got a bunch coming. And then other than that, again, we got a bunch coming up here for between Robert and I have our show tomorrow. We've got some games live this weekend coming up from Detroit. Next week is it's funny. Next week, Gavin, I'm taking Robert to the airport next Wednesday, and then the following day I'm flying to Chicago for 2 days for the USHL Fall Showcase. So nice. We got everything's kind of moving right now, and we got real hockey to talk about coming up in about 3-4 days. So
that's awesome. And North Texas is represented in the USHL now, probably more than ever. So it's awesome to see so many North Texas players now showing up in the junior leagues. You're a beast, my friend. Thank you for the time. It's always a quick 30 minutes, but love having you on. And we will talk to you in the coming days.
Always look forward to it, Gavin.
Absolutely. Thanks to Sean Shapiro. And remember, support Elite Prospects, as Sean said. Support his Shap Shots, his Substack. There's going to be a lot of really interesting prospect information that's coming in the next couple of days. Excited to hear his and Robert's thoughts. Robert is at starsthoughts.com. You can read everything that Sean does. He retweets it at Sean Shapiro. And they'll drop a new episode of Algorithmically Incorrect, as Sean mentioned, tomorrow. For our producer, Gregory Finley, thanks to the on-time experts. Man, it's going to be great. I'm going to sleep in peace tonight with a new AC system, and that's exciting. So appreciate the partnership with the on-time experts. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Until our next podcast, have a great day, everyone.